Welcome to the Practice Upgrade Summit. I'm Dr. Dennis Perman. Our next guest speaker is a holistic doctor in Baltimore, where he's taught at Johns Hopkins University and the University of Maryland. He's trained in acupuncture, homeopathy, hypnosis, sound, light, meditation, and body work, and is one of the world's foremost authorities on pulsed electromagnetic fields, PEMF therapy, working with magnetic field therapies for over 30 years. A veteran of radio, TV, and podcasting, he co-hosted a two-hour holistic health radio show in Baltimore for 10 years. He's the author of Power Tools for Health, a comprehensive book on healing with PEMF magnetic fields, which describes over 25 physical actions of PEMFs, validates its effectiveness for 50-plus conditions, and shows how to get a PEMF system and use it. The book offers over 500 scientific references and is the most authoritative yet readable book on the topic available to date. Please help me welcome to the Practice Upgrade Summit, Dr. William Pollack. Dr. Pollack, welcome aboard.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me and for being willing to interview somebody like myself.
Well, you're going to find that the work that you're doing is very consistent with the both the research and the practical work that our doctors are doing. So let's start at the very beginning. What is pulsed electromagnetism and how does it work?
So electromagnetism basically is the second force of the universe. Right? The four forces, it's the second force. Wherever you have charge, you have a magnetic field. Where you have an electron, you have a magnetic field. Where you have the flow of electrons, you have a magnetic field. Most of us are aware of static magnets, the little fridge magnets, or little magnets that we put on things and how they repel each other and attract each other and so on. But pulse magnetic fields were discovered to actually, a current flowing through a wire produces a magnetic field. We hear about that with power lines, right? The magnetic fields that power lines produce, they produce pretty large magnetic fields. So current flowing through a wire is we dropped off there.
Dr. Bill, you froze. So go right back to the section on the current flows through a wire.
So when current flows through a wire, the electrons flowing through that wire produce a magnetic field that basically is perpendicular to the flow of the electrons. And so it's hand and glove. You cannot separate the two. They happen together. Now, when you have active current, like with TENS or electrical stimulation, then there's still a magnetic field. But obviously, what's happening to the body is the electrical current is in direct contact, and it produces more of what we call it's not an induced current. It's a capacitative coupling with the body. Whereas magnetic fields, because they are induced by the current, they are not induced by, and when they touch the body, they don't actually touch the body like a current does, where you essentially electrocute, if you will, different levels of electrocution. So a magnetic field is going through the tissues. Nothing stops the magnetic field. Metal will deflect the magnetic field, but nothing stops it. So it'll bend around the metal, but it continues because one of the laws of physics basically is that once a magnetic field is created, it is a closed loop. And if it bends around metal, it has to find a way back to itself to complete that loop. Right, but so essentially, a magnetic field passing through the body is going completely through it. No tissue stops it or slows it down or uses it up. It goes completely through the body. That's a critical principle for the use of PEMFs. You don't have to undress. You don't have to prepare the patient. You just put it right on the tissue, whether it's through clothing or casts or bandages. It'll go right through. You can put a hat on your head. Put the clothes on top, and you'll still go through the body. You can wear it under your shoes; it'll still go through the shoes into the feet. So basically, it's electromagnetism. It's the magnetic component of what's happening with the electrical part of it.
And what actually happens in the tissues when the electromagnetism goes through them?
So that's based on Faraday's law. So Faraday's law says that a magnetic field passing through basically molecules or ions, electrons that are affected by the field, that interact with the magnetic field, will induce charge in the body. That's Faraday's law. And it's subject to something called dB/dt. So the change in intensity divided by the change in time that produces, dBdt, which is Tesla per second. So that amount of energy is both the energy produced by the magnetic field itself without having anything to do with the body, but that rapid induction of the magnetic field as it moves through the body that stimulates the amount of charge production in the body. There are other mechanisms of magnetic fields as well, but the primary, the best known mechanism of magnetic field therapy is the induction of charge or energy in the tissues. And it's that induced energy in the tissues that essentially is responsible for all the benefits of PEMFs. So the stronger the magnetic field, the faster it rises to its peak, the more action and the more dynamic the changes are going to be in the tissues.
Now, we've all seen the Mr. Wizard experiments where you take iron filings and put them on a piece of paper and you take a magnet and put it underneath, and then you see the lines of force. Now, does the entry into the tissues follow that same kind of a rhythmic pattern?
Well, it is, but that depends on the ferromagnetic characteristics of the tissues being treated. And most body tissues are not ferromagnetic. So iron filings are ferromagnetic, and that's why you'll see them not line up very nicely, even with pulse magnetic fields. So if you have a wire going in and out of a plate that has iron filings in it, and the wire goes up and comes down on the other side, you'll see nice little concentric circles of the filings lining up. So it's the same principle as far as ferromagnetics is concerned. But in the tissues, different tissues have different susceptibilities to the magnetic field. So, and it doesn't depend on the amount of hemoglobin. It doesn't depend on the amount of iron, because most of the iron in the body is bound. It's not elemental. So it's not like truly ferromagnetic in a way we normally think of magnetism acting that way. So it's acting on the tissues by virtue of the charge susceptibilities of the tissues, but that also depends on the electrical component and how that electrical component moves through the tissues.
Okay, so then what are some of the benefits that happen with the PEMF treatment?
They're ubiquitous. So that's the answer. They're ubiquitous. You did mention in the book that I review 25 different mechanisms of action of PEMFs.
Yes.
So there's 25. So let's pick some. Right, the ones that probably are the most easy to explain, but many of them can be used to explain many of the phenomena seen with the way PEMFs work. One of the most important actions of magnetic fields is improving circulation. And there are people who claim there are very low intensity devices out there being sold by multi-level marketing companies that claim that they have the patent. It's their device that produces changes in circulation. Static magnets improve circulation. So it doesn't matter whether it's a static magnet or a pulse magnetic field, they all improve circulation. So that's one of the key mechanisms. And one of the ways it does that is primarily through nitric oxide induction. And nitric oxide is a vasodilator. So it's a muscle relaxer, right? So then all the secondary benefits of improving circulation, like reduction of edema, reduction of bruising, improvement of circulation, decreasing viscosity, decreasing the thickness of the blood, and so on. All of these benefits happen. The actions that happen on platelets. PEMFs have been found to, like other nutrients like natokinase, have actually been found to be both fibrinolytic and decrease the stickiness of platelets. So they have a significant effect on the vascular system, not just circulation, but on the vascular system in general, the hematologic system in general. So that's one of the key things, improving circulation. Pain reduction. There's a natural anti-nociceptic effect of magnetic fields, natural, automatic pain-killing effect, acting primarily through the mu opioid receptors. But recently, we've actually discovered that magnetic field therapy also affects the cannabinoid receptors. Now, that the cannabinoid system is a relatively new system relative to magnetic field research. The magnetic field research has been going on for 70 years. So I published another book originally, Magnetic Field Therapy in Eastern Europe, a review of 30 years of research. Well, now it's 50 years of research. Well, but it was done, now it's been done 50 years ago. So the science back then didn't understand even nitric oxide. They called it endothelial relaxing factor back then. Hmm. And now it's called nitric oxide. So the pain-killing effect is a natural anti-nociceptic effect. And the endocannabinoid system is how old? Well, it's ancient, but we only recently discovered it, right? So now we know it actually works for that system as well. So there's a pain-killing effect, a vascular improvement effect, muscle relaxation effect. So muscles in spasm will actually relax.
And that sounds like any doctor would want to know about that and use it. Now,
absolutely. So, right.
Now, you also mentioned that there are over 50 health conditions that respond to this. Could you tell us what some of the most common applications are?
Well, almost any pain. So if you talk about pain, pain is not just pain, is it? Pain is caused by something.
Yes, pain is caused by something, yes.
Right? And one of the most important actions of PEMFs, one of the most important actions of PEMFs that does relate to pain management is reducing inflammation.
Yes.
So actually, PEMFs can actually temporarily increase inflammation, which is part of the healing response as well, isn't it? But at the same time, it increases acute inflammation in the setting of acute inflammation.
Yes.
But in the setting of chronic inflammation, it actually causes apoptosis of the chronic inflammatory cells. So then it resolves the inflammation that way. And one of the key aspects of that is that what's been found is that it works through the adenosine receptor to do this. So adenosine, we know, is part of ATP. But the adenosine receptor has a lot of other actions in the body beyond ATP.
Mm.
And the effect on ATP, the research has shown that it has to produce an optimal effect on reducing inflammation, needs to be about 15 Gauss.
So then if you're telling me that the PEMF enhances circulation and affects the vascular system, and it also decreases inflammation, then what disease processes doesn't it affect? I mean, it sounds like it's everything.
Exactly. So just because we have 50 diseases that we reference in the book with references, scientific references, I have over 500 references in the book.
Yes.
And by the way, anybody listening to this show will have access to be able to get a free copy of the book.
Oh, fantastic. That's so generous of you. Thank you very much. That's really important.
I think it's very important for clinicians to know the science.
Indeed. Well, I talk to doctors all day, every day, and many of them are already using PEMF with great results. So it's not surprising to hear this glowing report that you're making.
Unfortunately, a lot of the doctors who are using PEMFs really have inadequate training on their use.
So what kind of training would be required for them to be able to excel?
Read the book.
Okay. Well, simple enough.
Right.
Okay, great.
I mean, read my website and read drpollock.com and read the book. If you combine the information of both those two sources, you're going to be well along the way and be informed to be able to do a better job, a more consistent job.
Great. Well, I did go to your website myself and watch some of your videos and read some of your commentary. And that was one of the things that makes it so intriguing, this work. I'm concerned that some people may be underutilizing it or not applying it effectively, but if it's as simple as reading Power Tools for Health, then I think many will be able to take great strides in that direction.
Well, so, let's go back. Sorry to interrupt you, but let's go back to the point about inflammation and the adenosine receptor.
Please do.
Because that is absolutely critical.
Yes.
If you understand this concept, you will do a lot better with your magnetic field therapy.
Tell us.
Because it's 15 Gauss, that's the optimal intensity at the target tissue. So that's the target. Now, one of the other principles about magnetic field therapy is they naturally drop off. We know this with cold and heat and light and radiation. It drops off very rapidly as you move away from the applicator, the source.
Yes.
Well, PEMFs do the same thing. And it's subject to a lot of different laws. And the law that I use primarily to keep it simple is called the inverse square law. And the inverse square law is used most often by people who do radiation therapy.
Yes.
But it tells you what the magnetic field is at an expected distance away from the source of the, in quotes, the radiation. A magnetic field therapy is radiation. It's not ionizing radiation, it's radiation. So as a result, what you have to do is you have to calculate then what magnetic field, if you need 15 Gauss, you have to calculate what the magnetic field intensity needs to be at the target tissue. So, for example, 4,000 Gauss magnetic field will deliver 15 Gauss at about 4 inches. Right? Obviously, 4,000 Gauss magnetic field will deliver almost 4,000 right at the applicator.
Right, right.
Right? But the deeper you go, the more loss of field you have. And there's a blog on the website, which is not covered in the book. And that blog is about the adenosine receptor. So it's adenosine and pain and inflammation. So I do encourage people to read that blog, and it has tables in there about the magnetic field intensity that you need to start with to deliver 15 Gauss optimally at whatever depth you want it to be treated.
Okay, so if PEMF is integral in the ATP system, then that means that it doesn't only treat conditions, but it also enhances well-being. It also generates energy and causes the individual to respond in a positive way, not just getting away from being ill. Is that
very good observation? Very good observation. So magnetic field therapy has been found to increase ATP production by between 100 to 600%.
Wow.
100 to 600%. Now, can you say it will do ATP production at a distance from the magnetic field back to the adenosine receptor?
Right, right.
But what happens then is, and we know that ATP turns over, we turn over our body weight in ATP every day. It's recycling between, every molecule of ATP in our body is recycled between 200 to 500 times a day. Right? So you're constantly producing it, constantly regenerating it, and magnetic field therapy has been found to not only generate ATP, but most importantly, you can have all the ATP you want, but it's got to be hydrolyzed. It has to be converted, hydroxylized. Right? So basically, you have to remove a hydroxy, one of the phosphates, to be able to produce ADP, right? And then has to, you know, has to then be recycled back to ATP. And it works through the enzymes to do this. So magnetic field therapy basically constantly is helping that cycle constantly.
Oh, that's remarkable. That's remarkable. So then not only should doctors be using this as a way of treating conditions, but also of generating vitality and quality of life, it seems.
One of the byproducts of having a magnetic field therapy session, even though you might come in with your back pain or a shoulder problem or headaches or, you know, a hip problem, you're secondarily, automatically boosting your ATP.
Well, that sounds immensely worthwhile. I mean, why wouldn't anybody want to include that? That makes perfect sense. So now, what are some of the benefits to the doctor in practice? Most of our listeners and viewers are field practitioners. What are some of the benefits that the doctor in practice notices from using PEMF?
The benefits are, in many ways, legion. So if you can deliver people another service beyond what you're already doing, and they can get results faster than they would have normally, and they can sustain the benefits of the treatments that you've provided from one session, treatment session to the next, then what happens is they'll move much faster through that process. So patients are going to be a lot happier. You can charge for this service. This service is not paid for by insurance. Mm. It's fee for service. If you want it to be paid for by insurance, then you're going to have to do an electrical stim code. And we know how well they pay.
Well, okay. Now you've moved us into talking about the business of this. And of course, that's very important as well. Tell us a little bit about how most doctors present this so that if indeed there isn't a third party coverage, then the doctor has to validate the importance and the necessity of it. Let us be a fly on the wall with you being the doctor and us being the patient. Tell us how you would explain this so that our doctors can see what your bedside manner might be in helping patients to understand PEMF.
I use a number of different ways of explaining it to patients. Obviously, the physician, the clinician, is the authority.
Yes.
And a good part of the time, if the clinician says you need this, patients don't know why, and they won't necessarily even ask, because they're relying on your authority to say, this is going to help me. But if you have to explain how it works, you could explain the fact that one of the key ways that I explain is that magnetic field therapy is like the wind in the trees. The wind does not stay in the tree. The magnetic field does not stay in the body. It passes right on through. And you know how much it's affecting the tree by how much the leaves are moving. You don't want a tornado, and you don't want completely still air. If you don't use it, you lose it. So magnetic field therapy is pushing activity in the body. It's making the body use itself, creating the charge that it needs to do the next step in whatever process it has. Disease and illness happens because there's no wind. There's not enough charge to finish the job of healing. That's how non-union fractures happen. They don't finish the job of healing.
Yes.
So magnetic fields basically stimulate that process to restart itself, to kickstart itself, or to kick itself up to another level. So you can heal wounds in half the time. You can heal fractures in half the time. The tissues improve in half the time. The inflammation decreases in half the time, you know, approximately. So if a physician understands the basic concept, magnetic fields pass through the body. They're completely safe. They're not toxic. They're not invasive, right? It's additive to virtually any other therapy, right? And so it's going to help you. It's going to move you through your problem much faster and much better.
Well, that is profoundly simple, Dr. Bill. That is excellent. The wind in the trees and creating motion in the cells. You don't want them to be frantic. You don't want them to be too still. You want them to move appropriately. And the magnetism helps them to do that. Fantastic. Fantastic. So now I want to talk a little bit more about the business. Talk to us a little bit about how you present the cost of this to your patients, because if it's not covered by third-party pay, they have to understand not only the validity of it, but the value to them personally. So talk about how you present this so that a patient feels compelled to pay you for it.
So once I outline the reasons that we're doing this, and if they know, because often it's not the first time they've been to this rodeo.
Yes.
Right? It's not the first time they've been to your office. And maybe not the first time they've been to your office for this problem. So we said, we've gotten so far with what we could do conventionally. What we need to do is to take this to the next level. And like any therapy, whether it's acupuncture or whether it's TENS treatments, electrical stim treatments, manipulation treatments, all of those take time and energy and have a cost associated with them. Well, this equipment has a cost as well. My time in providing this equipment to you has a cost. And so here's the cost. How much you charge will depend on where you are in the country. In Miami, in New York City, in LA, in Washington, DC, you're going to be paying more because overheads are more. Right, but you can say we're going to charge between $1 and $3 a minute for treatment. Okay. How much time you're going to need will depend on your problem, depend on where you are, where you're starting at, how much time you're going to need. I routinely will do 30-minute sessions, routinely. Many devices say, well, it's 8 minutes or 12 minutes or whatever. It's what you need.
Yes.
And I will gradually build people up. And in fact, what I do with my high-intensity magnetic systems is I will take them up to a level of discomfort. And then take them to the level of intolerance and then back them off.
Mm.
So if you're using a high enough intensity magnetic system, they know it's working. They can feel it because muscles start contracting.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And when the muscles are contracting, now they're bought into the treatment. And so even if you have to give away a session just for them to see it, to touch it, to feel it, then you know you've bought them.
Yes. Well, that's only good business. So that makes perfect sense. So you help doctors choose PEMF systems that are right for them, and you sell them to patients as well at times?
Yes. One of the key things that we'll do to the people who are watching this show with us is we have a website called TeslaFit. So it's teslafit.com/consult. So if you want a consultation on helping you to decide which system is going to work best for you, given the cost benefit of what you are, what your office is. You know, there are many people, many chiropractors I know have bought $35,000 systems.
Yes.
To me, most of the time, for most doctors, that's overkill.
I see.
And how do you get ROI? You have to have a really, you know, booming business, and then you have to create an even more booming business to get the ROI from that kind of system.
Is there a significant difference between the very expensive units and the moderately priced ones?
No, because it depends on intensity. They all end up relying entirely on the actual magnetic field induced.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. So name your favorite low-priced system, your favorite moderately priced system, and your favorite deluxe system.
So I've done training with acupuncturists. I do an 8-hour workshop for acupuncturists. I've done webinars for naturopaths and other doctors, and just sort of primary care doctors even. Who don't have the resources to spend for a $35,000 system. You don't need all of that. The system that I think is the most cost-effective for most practitioners is the TeslaFit Duo. Like Tesla and then Fit, F-I-T, Duo. The reason that I recommend the duo is that it's the most efficient, because what we have to, we aim for not only effectiveness, we aim for results, but we also aim for efficiency. You also want a system that has a very small footprint. It's not going to take a lot of room. Right? So a duo has a footprint of maybe a foot wide and half a foot deep and probably about 4 inches thick. Very light system to use. Now, there's a portable system that's a bit heavier because of the box that it comes in. But basically, it's a small footprint, and you got two devices. It's got two engines in one. It's got two magnetic engines. So you can essentially treat two parts of the body at the same time. You can sandwich a part of the body, like a chest or a hip or a back or a brain. You can put magnetic applicator on either side. And that fills that area between them with a more uniform magnetic field. So again, the treatment time is more efficient. It's more effective. The duo also allows you to treat two people at the same time, because one of the applicators, each channel has its own intensity setting. So you could actually theoretically treat two people at the same time.
Well, that sounds very cost efficient. And from the way you tell it, it seems like it's very effective as well. So then if a doctor wants to get started using the PEMF, most of our viewers and listeners are chiropractors. So many of them are health and wellness oriented. We're going to get back to talking about that in a little while, but many of them are also treating musculoskeletal conditions. So you just demonstrated that you could put the PEMF right on the injured part, and you can sandwich the dual applications, and you put the injured part in between them. Is that what you're saying?
You could do that, but if you have a shoulder problem and you have a hip problem, you could treat both.
Right, because you have two applications. I understand. Right. Now, under what circumstances would you treat the brain with this?
There are many. Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer's.
Okay, now you have to give us some more detail. Talk about some case studies and some people that you were able to help with those three conditions, for example.
Well, most of the time, some of these conditions are not short-term.
Indeed.
Right? Parkinson's is not a short-term. Now, sometimes you can get people out of a wheelchair, or you can get them walking better, more efficiently, and have less risk of falling by doing a short course of treatment. But a good part of the time, they're going to need treatment for an extended period of time. Mm-hmm. Whether they buy, you know, their own system, or whether they just keep coming in for treatments with you. So for Parkinson's, in that case, you would take the two applicators with the dual, and you put one on either side of the head. And you bring it up to maybe, I would say, 30 to 40% intensity. You always start off low, see how the body tolerates the stimulation. So it's like athletic training. You don't start off with try to run a marathon. You start off, you know, running, 500 yards, or sure, then 100 yards, 1,000 yards, et cetera. So you gradually build up. You see what they could tolerate. Then once you can tolerate the max pretty well, then that's all you need to do. And you treat for a short period of time. It turns on the brain waves, turns on ATP production, increases circulation, because a lot of the problems in people's brains, especially as we get older, is actually circulation.
Yes.
Right. So ATP increases and Keflins and endorphins. So people actually can feel a little spacey. They can feel happy. It's like a happy juice in a sense.
I think people probably want a little of that these days, no question. Talk about Alzheimer's. What have you seen with Alzheimer's patients?
So the problem with Alzheimer's, like the problem with any condition, say, doctor, what are your results with my condition? And what's the answer?
The answer is we'll find out.
The answer is it depends. Right? And as you say, we'll find out, because we need to not only know how severe the problem is, we need to know how responsive your body is to the treatment.
Yes.
What's your starting point? Where do we want to end up? So you adjust your protocol at your time and intensity and so on based on the body's response. Always starting off gently and gradually building up.
Okay. Is there a cumulative impact? Do you get to a point where the tissues have been charged, or is there that you have to keep amping it up in order to get a result? Does the person habituate to it? How does that actually work?
So, of all the mechanisms that we talk about in the book and otherwise, The body decides what it's going to do.
Indeed.
I can't say I'm going to target inflammation or I'm going to target circulation. The body says, I got a stimulus. It's a non-specific stimulus. And the body says, here's what I'm going to do. And it's going to pick off, like low-hanging fruit, it's going to pick off the things that will change and shift the easiest. So the way, one of the ways I conceive of this is that basically you're dealing with four levels of essentially pathology, starting with the energetic level. A good analogy is a cold. You're getting a cold, something's coming, you don't know what's coming because you know you just don't feel right. That's the energetic level. The next level is physiologic. Now you start sneezing, start having a runny nose, the body's reacting to the virus and producing a physiologic response to the virus. You can get rid of it very quickly at the energetic level. Now you have to change and shift the physiology at the physiologic level. But if you start producing yellow-colored sputum, or you start hacking up a lot of sputum, and it burns and tears as you cough it up, well, that's pathophysiologic. Right? And then the lowest level, of course, would be pathologic. The tissue's dead, or it's dying. You've got an abscess.
Yes.
Right? So it's going to take a lot longer to reverse an abscess than it is a pathophysiologic level versus a physiologic level, and so on. So once you identify where that level is and what the tissue is that you're dealing with, ligaments don't heal well, right? Bone takes a long time to heal. The nervous system takes a long time to heal. So when you know what you're dealing with, you have some sense and what the level of pathology is, that you have some sense of the tissue and how that tissue is going to be able to respond. And with that level of predictability, then you can advise the patient, this is what's probably going to end up having to happen with your treatment plan.
Well, that certainly makes sense. Now, we live in a very odd time where people have the combined challenge of dealing with the coronavirus, but then the emotional stress that spins off from that. It strikes me that you might have something to say about that.
Yes, I got into a little trouble with that, in fact.
Well, let's not get in trouble, but...
But that's because of what I said. So magnetic field therapy is used for anxiety and it's used for depression.
Yes.
So it's used for mood disorders, and that's well known. There are devices that are FDA approved to treat treatment resistant depression. Very high intensity systems, higher than the ones that we have available to us as clinicians, without getting FDA approval, without having to spend $50,000 for a machine. So mood automatically is helped with PMF therapy. And of course, if you remove somebody's pain, their mood's going to improve anyway.
Certainly.
Right? So when it comes to dealing with COVID or pulmonary infections of any kind, including all the respiratory viruses, including influenza, once it settles into the body and you start to produce pathology or significant amounts of pathophysiology, then you need to raise that level of tissue healing to get responses. So magnetic field therapy helps the body to recover better, faster from these infections. And if you recovered from COVID, then what happens is you have scarring. You have chronic inflammation in your body that has to be taken care of. It's going to last months to years. Now we call it the long hauler syndrome. Right? People who are severely ill with this infection have problems for months. And well, we haven't been around for a year, so we don't know, but certainly months. But you can help the body to recover faster because it deals with the chronic inflammation.
So it seems like there's a dual purpose to using PEMF with people with the coronavirus, both to assist them in diminishing the inflammation when the disease is full blown, and then afterwards to reestablish good circulation to help them eliminate some of the scarring that remains afterward.
Good circulation and tissue healing.
And
so actually, you're causing healing of the tissue, recovery and healing of the tissue itself. So you reduce the scarring. The sooner you can do this, the less scarring there's going to be in that tissue. Less fibrosis you're going to have in the lung. The less chronic bronchitis or restrictive lung disease that you're going to have subsequently.
So I don't want to get you in more trouble, and I don't want to get in trouble myself.
Well,
it seems to me, based on what you're saying, see, chiropractors are trained that we make corrections and the body heals itself. So for us, what you're talking about is second nature. But the issue is right now, with the absence of clear-cut clinical approaches in dealing with the current pandemic, it strikes me that things like chiropractic and PEMF are going to be helpful, not because they target any specific disease process, but rather because they establish something closer to a physiological normal in the body. Is that your experience?
Yeah, in fact, I talk about this as well sometimes. You know, when you go to a surgeon and you have an operation, you have surgery, what does a surgeon do when you leave the office?
Opens a bottle of champagne? I don't know. What does he do?
Crosses your fingers.
Oh, crosses fingers. Okay.
Right? Because what does a surgeon do to help you to heal from that surgery?
Right.
Almost always nothing.
Yes.
Right? They're completely relying on you to heal yourself.
Yes.
That's leaving things to chance. So when you do a correction, now you're basically relying on the person to heal themselves from the correction. Mm-hmm. So if you do a correction and you do magnetic field therapy, now you're less reliant on chance. When I give somebody an antibiotic as a physician, I'm also crossing my fingers. Mm-hmm. A, that they don't get side effects, and B, that they're going to heal, because the antibiotics only kill the bugs. It doesn't heal the infection. It doesn't heal the damage.
Yes.
So you're reliant on your natural capability to be able to recover from the damage caused by that infection. So we don't want to leave things to chance. That's what magnetic field therapy does.
Well, Dr. Bill, you sound more like a chiropractor when you say stuff like that. So welcome to our side.
And a naturopath.
Indeed. I know chiropractors don't own natural healing, but it's just it's refreshing. Because there's so much conflict out there, and we really all should be working together to make things better.
Absolutely.
Which is what takes me into the last topic that I want to discuss with you. What do you foresee as the future of PEMF therapy? If you could wave a magic wand and make things exactly the way you'd hope they would be, what role would pulse electromagnetism play in the healing and resolution of our planet's problems?
If we understand magnetic field therapy and what it does in the body, if we understand what magnetic fields do in the body, then we begin to understand the role it plays. So again, if you have a mechanical problem, magnetic field therapy doesn't fix a mechanical problem. You have to adjust. You have to change the mechanics.
Yes.
And then the body heals itself. But so instead of just relying on the mechanics to take care of everything, then you add another modality. The same thing applies to nutrition. So again, a metaphor that I use, you can't build a house without bricks and mortar.
Yes.
Right? You also need you need the plans to build your house.
Yes, sir.
You need tools to build your house. You could do it the old-fashioned way with hand tools, or you could use electrical tools. But that means you have to bring power to the house. So magnetic fields, then basically pulse magnetic fields, are bringing power to the house. You're still relying on the genetics and the body's own capacity to do the work that it needs to do to heal itself. But you also have to have the proper lifestyle factors that contribute to the healing process. So if you are missing the lifestyle factors and people keep pouring gasoline on the fire, then you're going to have a hard time recovering from that. So understanding their role and their place with everything that you're doing, and knowing what magnetic fields are going to do to enhance everything that you're doing. Magnetic fields activate supplements and nutrients. They activate it because they open up cell membrane channels. When you open up the membrane channels of every cell in the body, then what happens? Nutrients work better. And waste gets out of the cell better. So everything's made more efficient, generally.
Fantastic. Now, you've been so generous. This is information rich and completely practical and relevant. You've got the ear of an entire profession. What message would you like to deliver primarily to the chiropractors who are listening? What do you have to say to help them?
All right. So two important messages about PEMFs that I see were not only chiropractors, but doctors in general, clinicians in general, the two mistakes they make: the intensity is too low or the intensity is too high. Now, the intensity being too high would be against spending $35,000 or $50,000 for a PEMF system that you may not need to spend in your practice. Now, in some business models, that makes great sense. Mm-hmm. It usually takes a room, takes a lot of space. So most chiropractors that I've ever talked to don't have those luxuries. They have one or two rooms and they're moving back and forth between one or two rooms. So you need a small footprint, and you need something that's not going to bankrupt you, and you don't have to go into significant debt to be able to afford. So getting a system that's maybe a third of the way down the road in terms of cost. At the low end are devices that are being sold that are being, the promises are extravagant. And the people who are selling them have zero training in magnetic field therapy, except for the people who taught them to sell. And the magnetic systems are like one Gauss. So we're talking about magnetic, like the Tesla Fit Duo, we're talking about a 5,000 Gauss machine. So what is one Gauss going to do versus 5,000 Gauss? You have a lot more room to play with. You can adjust your protocols more easily. You're going to get better, faster results with less time.
Great. Great. Thank you so much, Dr. Pollack. This has been a marvelous presentation. I know some people are being introduced to PEMF for the first time. At the Master Circle Global, we talk about it constantly, and many of our doctors are already using it. It's one of the reasons I really wanted to have one of the foremost authorities to explain some of the inner workings of this. Do you have one more comment?
One more comment. To go back to a point I made earlier, and I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, please.
Again, one of the key things in terms of deciding which system to get, what part of the spectrum should you be in, and which device should you get, is I offer a consultation service. So if there are people watching and listening who say, I'm not sure what I should get. I know I've been sold this, I've been sold that, I've been sold that. And we read on the internet, you'll see a huge number of claims and you don't know what to make of any of this. One of the reasons for the book is to provide you the science. So it's not a matter of my opinion. Here's the science. So I provide consultations. So if you go to teslafit.com/consult, you can book an appointment to have a discussion with me about which devices would be best suited for your setting, your environment, what your hopes and expectations would be for how you would consider using this equipment. So being informed in all of these different ways is very important to make the right decisions.
Fabulous. A brilliant healer, a dedicated master, somebody who cares about the people he takes care of and is a visionary in his own time. Dr. Bill Pollack, thank you so much for being on the Practice Upgrade Summit.
Thank you for allowing me to chat with your folks.